It's New Year's Eve, 2099. You're listening to the BB Buck Buck Chicken Tonight Sea.
Look back at the future.
This week we're looking back at 2021, the year when a BBC film crew captured these scenes.
Well, there's thick black smoke everywhere. The heat and the fumes are overwhelming. Through the smoke I can just make out some figures. Some of them are running.
A typical summer's day in Hyde Park. In January, 9 men at a colliery in Yorkshire downed tools. Yes, it was an all-out national miners' strike. But the country was in the grip of another industrial dispute, a bitter, protracted battle over the government's decision to close down Britain's main industry, pizza delivery.
Good evening, I'm Moira Stewart. There's still no sign of an end to the national pizza delivery strike. No pizzas have been delivered for over 20 weeks, and the people who ordered them are just beginning to suspect there's something wrong. Meanwhile, the leader of the National Union of Pizza Deliverers has been addressing a rally in Yorkshire.
My father was a pizza delivery boy. His father was a pizza delivery boy. And his father before him. Well, he was a miner.
In Nottingham, however, a lone pizza delivery boy has defied the strike and returned to work, escorted by several hundred police from the Special Moped Division.
Okay, Delta 4, we're heading up Fortescue Avenue. Now we're heading down Fortescue Avenue. Oh, no, we're heading back up Fortescue Avenue again. Soz, does anyone know where number 23 Fortescue Avenue is?
With me is the Trade Secretary. Minister, aren't you adopting a short-sighted, small-minded attitude to this strike?
No, the fact is pizza delivery is simply no longer economic.
Why is that?
Well, in the old days, if you ordered a medium-sized deep pan, you got one small thin crust free. But they've stopped that offer now. It's not fair.
That's the news tonight. We're ending earlier than usual, as now I have to walk all the way to the kebab shop. Good night.
There was great excitement that February when the first ever Black Pope visited Britain. However, the tour was marred when His Holiness kept getting pulled over by the police and asked, "Is this your Pope-mobile, sonny?" That same month, a leading Catholic priest called for tougher sentences for young offenders in the confessional.
"Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I've let out the gerbil, been rude to Granny, and it was me what put that egg sandwich in the video."
"Very well, my child. That'll be 2 Hail Marys and 10 years in a Turkish prison."
Meanwhile, another group of religious zealots were spreading the word.
Yes.
Hello, we're from the Mission of the Latter-day Agnostics. Have you thought about God recently?
No.
Good, that's a start. You see, as agnostics, our mission is to spread the good news that we can't be sure whether there's a God or not. Perhaps you'd like one of our leaflets. "Rejoice, for there really is very little hard evidence to go on. We just don't know either way."
"No, I'm not really interested, thanks."
Oh, praise be.
But in some parts of the world, more sinister methods of persuasion were used, culminating in the infamous Agnostic Inquisition.
"Let's try again, shall we? Turn the rack."
"No!"
"Say it."
"Never!"
"Say it. Say you only go to church at Christmas, but you might get married in one because it's nicer."
"No!"
The Agnostic Inquisition, whom the Archbishop of Canterbury described as evil torturers who would burn in hell for all eternity. Or possibly not. He couldn't be sure. In March, the IRA launched a devastating new campaign aimed at wrecking Britain's economy. They told people to vote Conservative. But Parliament itself was changing. MPs were so often absent from the chamber that it was decided that House of Commons debates should be conducted as a radio phone-in.
"Order, order. The House will now dial, and we have our first call on line one. Who is the honourable member for Darlington?
Madam Speaker, when will this government finally do something about unemployment?
Well, very interesting point there. And on line two is the Minister for Employment himself.
Yes, hello, Madam Speaker. I'd just like to point out that unemployment was much worse under the previous caller.
Right, well, I'd like to hear your views on that, please. Line three.
Hear, hear.
Line four.
Boo, resign.
Line five.
Yes, can I just ask whether the Prime Minister has considered coming to the Mogul Tandoori and Barnet?
What has that question got to do with unemployment?
Nothing. I've just been paid £1,000 to ask it.
Yes. Well, just got up. Yes, well, we've just got time for one last caller.
Hello, hello.
Yes, go ahead, caller.
Well, Brian, I blame the Germans. I mean, we won the war and we still have to buy their yoghurt. You can't even go to the bathroom without getting mugged nowadays. If you ask me, they should give him a damn good birching like in Singapore.
Yes, thank you, Home Secretary.
2021.
In April, there were moves to improve teaching standards by setting staff rigorous new tests. History teachers had to be able to explain key historical events in a modern socio-political context. Science teachers had to be conversant in post-quantum theory molecular physics. And PE teachers had to be able to do their name in joined-up writing. Meanwhile, geography teachers were sent on a special retraining course in a desperate attempt to make them sound interesting.
Right, everyone. Today we're going to try a more advanced exercise, which is learning to talk with more than one note in your voice. Now, Mr. Wallace, perhaps you'd like to kick us off.
Peaks protruded through the ice sheets are affected by frost but not by glacial erosion. They are therefore jagged and angular in appearance.
Right, right, right. Can I just stop you there? You see, geography can be a fascinating subject, illuminating the wonders of the environment. So let's try that sentence again, emphasising that these peaks are affected by frost but not by glacial erosion.
Peaks protruded through the ice sheets are affected by frost but not by glacial erosion. They are therefore jagged and angular in appearance.
No, no. Look, think about what you're actually saying. Look, let's try being a bit more personal. How about you, Mr. Martin? Tell me something about yourself. Where do you live, for example?
I live in Knoll Hill, which is chalk-based with a semi-permeous bedrock. And I have a small garden, which is affected by frost but not by glacial erosion.
Yeah, all right, all right. All right, now let's imagine that a huge meteorite is hurtling towards the classroom. What would you say to the class, Mr. Wallace?
Huge meteorite is hurtling towards the classroom. It's composed of igneous rock and is therefore not affected by frost or glacial erosion.
Eventually, the scheme was abandoned after the instructor got bored, then started looking out of the window and fantasizing about Mr. Barnes, the English teacher. By 2021, Sainsbury's own brand cola was so successful that Tesco's brought out its own version. Tesco's own brand, Sainsbury's own brand cola. Meanwhile, Sainsbury's were at the centre of a court case following the launch of another new product, Sainsbury's own brand Radio 4. Sainsbury's insisted it was entirely different.
I'm Sue Flawley. Welcome to Canvey Island.
Let's take another trip to Umbridge to join the Barchers.
And now it's time for the 6 o'clock news, read by Brian Parkins. However, the BBC lost the court case when the judge ruled that Sainsbury's own brand Radio 4 was entirely different, as it featured a popular version of Anderson Country. Over on Radio 2, meanwhile, the DJs of 2021 were still playing popular tunes from the good old days.
Play me once again the songs from Memory Lane.
Hello, yes, it's time for another trip down Memory Lane to enjoy once again those marvellous tunes of yesteryear. And Mrs. Jones from Bournemouth has asked for this much-loved favourite from way back in 1977.
Burn the flag! Burn the queen! Burn the state! It's a fucking regime!
Ah, those golden sounds. I could almost feel the gob on the back of my neck. And Mrs. Jones writes that when she first heard that song, she went out and had no future tattooed on her forehead. And you know what? She's still got that tattoo there to this very day. But now it's my pleasure to welcome our very special guest, Henry Morris, better known in his younger days as Victor Vomit, old pincushion arms himself. Did that old classic bring back memories for you, Victor?
No, I'm afraid not, Benny. I was unconscious for most of that year. But I have brought in this little gem.
Well, let's give it a spin.
Burn the pig, burn the judge, burn the cow and the fire loiter.
Eventually, Radio 2 stopped playing punk records and tried to introduce music from the 21st century. However, listeners complained that it was just modern rubbish because it had nice tunes and you could hear the words. In June, a report concluded that some private clinics offering colonic irrigation were failing to meet adequate standards. Staff weren't fully trained, utensils weren't properly sterilized, and they didn't change the Hoover bags often enough. And there was more concern when a Harley Street clinic pioneered a controversial new operation.
This is Reg Smith. After months of counselling, he has decided to alter his identity. He is having an operation to change his class.
Well, I always felt I was born into the wrong class. When we'd have our tea break on a building site, I used to secretly drink Lapsang Souchong. Come Saturday, I'd tell the lads I was off to the match, whereas, in fact, I was dressing up in cravats and browsing for antique shops in Richmond.
Dr. Munro, what does the operation actually entail?
Well, it's quite simple. What I'm doing here is removing the tattoo, sewing up the crack in the bottom, making the front teeth stick out, and wrinkling up the nose into a permanent superior sneer.
After 4 hours of painstaking surgery, the bandages are removed. But has the operation been a success? I asked Mr. Smith.
Smythe, actually. Sorry, do I know you?
And there is an element of risk involved. Dr. Monroe's operation can go tragically wrong.
Well, I don't know what went wrong in my case, but I'm neither one thing nor a bloody other. I drink decaffeinated cappuccino with 5 sodden sugars.
That particular patient suffered a further setback. His bizarre accent, which swung wildly between upper class and Cockney, meant he was continually mistaken for an alternative comedian. In July, the Lover's Guide couple celebrated 20 years together on the screen with the release of The Lover's Guide 10, in which they got into bed, read for a bit, then turned the light out and went to sleep. Then he gets back up again, sneaks downstairs and watches The Lover's Guide 1. But the best-selling tape of the year was a frank, no-holds-barred video designed to help you improve your car maintenance techniques.
Hello. Welcome to the Driver's Guide. Sit back and let me show you how to become a better car lover. First, lock yourself away together in a warm, secluded garage. Don't be afraid to experiment. Try dressing up in blue overalls. Use a little oil for extra lubrication. Or if you're feeling adventurous, why don't you go underneath for a change? Now, gently ease off the distributor cap. Remove the rotor arm and lift the fixed contact point assembly from the pivot post. Being sure to remove the insulated low-tension condenser lead.
Oh, hello, dear.
Are you coming to bed, darling?
Oh, in an hour or two. I've just got to locate the gudgeon pin bearing.
The Driver's Guide, helping you to spend more time with the one you love.
In spite of the Driver's Guide's success, people complained that the cars in it were all beautiful and new, and not at all like the battered old bangers they had at home. That summer, an ordinary county cricket match between Hampshire and Sussex saw a major surprise. A spectator. Meanwhile, in America, a new version of a classic film was released, Lassie, the Director's Cut. But some felt that the director's original concept was flawed.
I can't move my leg, Mary Ann. We're trapped.
And the water level's rising, Mr. O'Malley.
Lassie, go and get help. Swim across the river and fetch the ranger.
Can you do that, Lassie?
Meow.
But it wasn't only directors who wanted their original artistic vision to be brought before the public. The following month saw the release of another re-edited classic, Casablanca, the man who did the sound effects cut.
Sam.
Yes, boss.
It's December 1941 in Casablanca.
My wife's stopped.
Sleep in New York. But there is sleep all over America. Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Cherry beer and a packet of peanuts.
Is that your wife?
Oh, just a little something on my own.
Now stop it. You know what I want to hear.
No, I don't.
You played it for her, you played it for me.
Well, I don't think I can remember.
If she can stand it, I can. Play it.
Yes, boss.
Bermuda Triangle.
Casablanca, the sound man's cut, which sadly was never heard by the cinema-going public because they were making too much noise eating their popcorn. Meanwhile, Walt Disney denied they were losing their touch after they released a happy-go-lucky sing-along Disney cartoon about the Vietnam War.
There's a jolly army in the jungle. The animal platoon is here to stay. There's Ricky Raccoon
and Sergeant Baboon,
and I'm the one that gets shot straight away. Jumbo starts to squirt us all with water. Harry the hyena starts to laugh. Chester the crow says,
keep your head low.
And that's the end of Johnny the Giraffe.
Oh, the animal platoon, we'll be in battle soon. We'll be in good in this magical world.
So now let's drop some napalm on it.
This is the end, my only friend, the end.
Now we're halfway through our tour of duty. The hippo says we haven't got a hope. The Viet Cong are in Saigon,
so we're just hanging out and smoking dope.
The marmosets are into Jimi Hendrix. Barnaby the bear has burned the flag. Ricky's on smack.
Hoppy has gone back.
Zipped inside a bunny body bag. Oh, the animal platoon came home and found quite soon. If you're wheelchair bound, there's no workaround for the animal platoon.
That September saw the launch of the National Association for Promoting Acronyms to Provide a Memorable Name for Pressure Groups, or NAFPAMANFIPAGA. The same month saw a shocking revelation about one of England's greatest sporting heroes.
For years, he was a role model for every schoolboy. But now, with the help of the latest photographic enlargement technology, historians have unearthed the incredible truth. Bobby Charlton was, in fact, bald.
If you look at these computer-enhanced photos, you can just make out the telltale signs of baldness. Just there. And there. And there, and there, and there, and there.
It is now clear that what appeared for so many years to be a massive head of thick, curly hair was, in fact, a few meager strands combed across his forehead. The news has stunned his former colleagues in the world of football.
Bobby Charlton? Bald? Not old full head of hair Bobby?
But already these amazing revelations have been overshadowed. After studying hours of videotapes and film archive, historians now believe that Jimmy Hill may not, in fact, have been a wise and much-loved football expert.
Look back at the future.
In Los Angeles, on the 7th of October, 2021, alarms sounded and thousands of Californians ran screaming into the streets in panic as the unthinkable happened. Someone had lit up a cigarette. Meanwhile, in Britain, the ever-worsening air pollution led to a massive build-up of helium in the atmosphere.
Good evening. Helium levels have reached an all-time high, causing widespread public concern. The opposition this afternoon called for a special debate in the House of Commons.
Madam Speaker, there is no evidence whatsoever that helium in the atmosphere is having any adverse effect.
There were angry scenes outside Westminster as protesters demanded a return to normal levels.
What do we want?
Sensible voices!
When do we want them?
Now!
This is the police. Stay behind the barriers or we'll bring in the air station.
Later, pop star Sting appeared at the protest.
Reduce the helium!
However, he seemed to be totally unaffected by the helium. It's me, Trevor McDonald, saying good night.
Soon afterwards, a Clean Air Act was introduced and helium levels returned to normal.
Apart from the occasional pocket.
In November, the government launched an initiative to give unemployed youngsters something to do. Every 16-year-old in the country received a personal letter inviting them to join a new national anti-litter campaign. Teenagers everywhere read the letter, then screwed it up and tossed it into a hedge. Undeterred, the government introduced its most ambitious youth training scheme to date.
Right, it's...
Barry.
Right, well, it's very straightforward, Barry. There's the computer screen. Just keep an eye on it. If you want to make a cup of tea, there's a kettle over there. I'll pop back at 5 and see how you're getting on.
It's Barry's first day as an air traffic controller. He's been put in charge of landings at Heathrow's Terminal 4, and at the age of 16 is already earning nearly £27 a week. I caught up with Barry to see how he was getting on at the world's busiest airport.
Well, it's not that bad. You just got to get these little arrow things to land on this bit here without them hitting each other. It's not as good as Sonic, because you only get one life. Oh, just lost another one.
Meanwhile, Barry's friend Lee is on a one-year apprenticeship as a High Court judge.
All rise. All sit. All snog each other.
My lad, the case before us today will establish a crucial legal precedent which may have important bearing on company law.
Oi, Dexy! Dexy!
Let the record show that at this point His Honour saw his mate Dexy in the public gallery and did that thing they do in Wayne's World.
For teenagers like Barry and Lee, the new youth training scheme has not been a success. After another near miss at Heathrow, Barry stood trial for criminal negligence and was sentenced to eat a slug and let Lee have a go on his moped. Prime Minister, isn't this whole scheme just a shameful attempt to save money by exploiting young people?
Dunno. I only started today.
2021.
In December, Vidal Sassoon launched a new salon shampoo which not only washed your hair but conditioned it, styled it, cut it, then disappeared for half an hour to chat to the girl who does the leg waxing. But 2021 will chiefly be remembered as the year that saw the arrival of a genuine third force in British politics. It began with a breakthrough by-election.
Stanley George Cooper.
Labour.
8,033 votes. Anthony James Trollope.
Conservative.
10,850 votes. Simon Ashley Thompson.
Liberal Democrat.
7 votes. Lord Catbasket Hovercraft Dispinhead.
Monster Raving Loony.
41,576 votes.
Yes, the unbelievable had happened. The Monster Raving Loony party had won their first seat in the House of Commons. The next day, Lord Dustbinhead came up with his maiden zany stunt, being wheeled into Parliament in a coffin. Unfortunately, it backfired when he was directed to the House of Lords. Despite this setback, support for the Monster Raving Loonies was continuing to grow amongst disillusioned voters.
Mr. Heseltine, are you worried by this surge of support for the Monster Raving Loonies?
Not at all. The natural home of looniness is and always has been the Conservative Party. Look at the poll tax. Look at the economy. And above all, look at my bottom. I've painted a halibut on it.
But the two main parties seemed incapable of stopping the tide of looniest support that was swamping Britain. Several more by-election seats went silly, including two in the Midlands, three in Scotland, and five in Egypt. Eventually, the government had no option but to call a general election. All the main parties led with the loony agenda. The Conservatives unveiled their slogan, "Towards a Zanier Britain." The Labour Party countered with even wackier, "This time we'll definitely win." But as the results came in, it was clear that the Monster Raving Loonies had won by a landslide.
Just look at all the results. There are all the little blue men, there are all the little red men, and there are all the little men jumping up and down and going bibble, 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 bibble.
Peter Snow's victory speech after winning Eastbourne for the Monster Raving Loonies. And so, the next morning, a loony Prime Minister stood on the steps of 10 Downing Street for the first time since 1979. Lord Dustbinhead addressed the cheering crowd.
Where there is discord, may we bring a bottle. Where there is despair, may we bring a three-bean salad and a bag of kettle chips.
But within days, there were signs that for all their wacky pledges, the new administration were compromising their zany principles.
Lord Dustbinhead, in your manifesto, you promised that the first thing your government would do would be to smear St. Paul's Cathedral with fromage frais.
Oh, yes, Tonto.
But all you've done so far is to increase VAT and bring in a capital goods tax.
Yes, we have every intention of smearing St. Paul's with fromage frais, but first we have to get the economy in order.
But aren't you just selling out? I mean, what about your plans to spend £20 billion turning Birmingham into a giant bouncy castle?
Ah, well, that money is badly needed to update Trident. Without a viable nuclear deterrent, there won't be a loony Britain to defend.
And so the newly renamed Monster Responsible Government Party carried on with its sensible, pragmatic policies and rapidly became extremely unpopular. There was only one thing they could do to regain their silly credibility: play one final, hilarious prank at the country's expense.
Guess what, Norma? They've made me Prime Minister!
Next week, we'll be looking back at 2025. Goodbye.
A Look Back at the Future was presented by Brian Perkins. It starred Tony Hawks and Kate Robbins with the writers Mark Burton, John O'Farrell and Pete Sinclair. The producer was Caroline Leddy. Look Back at the Future.